Governor John Bozeman joining us on the telephone this morning from Washington, D.C. And good morning, Senator Bozeman. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you, Paul?
Doing wonderful. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you as always for having us.
Always a pleasure. Well, listen, it's been kind of a busy day in Arkansas yesterday. Were you able to follow the elections here in the home state yesterday?
Yes, sir, I was. It's an hour later here and stayed up late last night, trying to, kind of see what was going on. And I know that the candidates, some of them are happy today and some are sad. I understand that very well as a candidate many times. But I think everybody's kind of glad to start to draw things down such that we know, who the actual candidates will be in the offices as we move forward.
Yeah, that's got to be a disappointing thing. Nobody likes to lose, and yet somebody has to. So
no, that's right. And the other thing is you can help a candidate, but until you are the candidate, you don't realize, exactly the pressures. It's a lot of hard work, tremendous amount of hard work, and then also it's tough on families. So it's good that we've got individuals that are willing to jump out and do these things. And so I really compliment those that, are willing to put their name on the ballot and work hard. And then, my experience is that things generally work out for the best.
Yeah, they generally do. Well, one of the things that was interesting about the way Arkansas voted last night is that on the Democratic ticket, President Obama only got, something like 56% of the vote or 58% of the vote, and some unknown guy by the name of John Wolf got over 40% of the vote, and that seems to me to be a referendum on the presidency, because the Democratic Party had already said that even if John Wolf won, he wouldn't get any delegates because of some kind of stuff he had done to get on the ballot. So are you surprised at that?
Well, yes and no. There's just tremendous discontent. I'm home every weekend and all throughout all of Arkansas, and I know that there's tremendous discontent with what's going on in Washington, and the people have great concern about the direction that the country's moving in. And I think that this election at the end of the day is going to be a referendum on the presidency. And a lot of people feel like the president inherited a very tough situation, but has essentially made things worse. And I think that's really what all this is about. And that's why you had, a very, very significant number, just voting for somebody that they never heard of. There's other states where on the ballot it's, has been the president and then kind of none of the above. And, this is happening in other states. West Virginia, I think the opponent, who is a convicted felon, got 41% of the vote. A guy that's serving time in Texarkana. It's interesting that the convicted felon was running on jobs in the economy. But it should be a wake-up call, not only for the president, but for all of us. There's a lot of concern in the country, and rightfully so. We've got to start solving some of the problems that we're facing. And right at the top of that truly is jobs and the economy.
Senator Bozeman, as I look at some of these major problems, I don't want to oversimplify things, but basically most things are governed by laws of nature of some kind. And it seems to me like the only solution to the jobs problem is to make it conducive for American companies to build stuff in America rather than taking them to China or Mexico or other places. And it seems like the jobs are going where the climate is the most conducive to those who are building things because of the taxes and all the other things. It seems to me like the only solution to this jobs program or to the jobs problem is to get people to build something in this country again. And I'm not sure what Congress can do about that, but I don't see any other solution to that.
Well, I think you're right, and as you point out, these are simple truths. They're like gravity. They're laws of economics that apply to countries, even to the United States, though it's probably the greatest country that's ever been. But just basic things like you can't spend a whole bunch more than what you have. And that's certainly what we're doing. That's affecting the economy. And if we're not careful and don't rectify that, we'll be in the situation that we're seeing in Europe. In regard to manufacturing and making things here, I agree with you totally. You know, you can't be a great country and not be a manufacturer of goods. So what we've got to do there is get some stability. The problem is we have one of the highest, in fact, we've got the highest corporate tax rate in the world right now. Not everyone pays those taxes. There's lots of loopholes so that you'll have a GE, you know, that's making billions and not paying any taxes, sending in a form that has like 56,000 pages, you know, the tax form, which is just simply unbelievable. We need to make things much simpler, much fairer. If you could balance out where everyone is, you know, get rid of some of the loopholes where everyone is paying, then you can lower the tax structure for everyone with our corporations, making it such that they'll be able to compete better overseas and with everyone else. The other thing is right now we, you know, companies are very, very concerned about the cost of health care, what Obamacare is going to do them. They're concerned about their energy cost. We don't have an energy policy in this country. And the other problem is tremendous regulation that's coming down from Washington that is increasing costs. So we've got to get some stability. They've got to know what the rules are. If we can do that, then I think we'll have a tremendous boost in the economy.
Well, in Mitt Romney, whether you're for him or against him, you have somebody who understands and has lived in and thrived in the free enterprise system. And President Obama was making light of that yesterday and actually making that sound like a bad thing. And I never thought I would hear an American president downing and making the free enterprise system sound like it was something bad, and yet that's what was happening. And I think, honestly, Mitt Romney's success in business makes me want to vote for him.
Well, I think that certainly that is his strength. Mitt Romney is, when he's jumped into things, whether it was turning around the Olympics, his governorship, and then again his business background, you know, he's done very, very well. And he understands how business works. He understands their needs. And so I think that is a real strength. That's why the president is trying to hammer him on this because, you know, as we can tell, this has been a real weakness, you know, in the president. And by any metric, you know, again, he's made it worse.
You mentioned just a moment ago the debt crisis in Europe. And this thing just continues to get worse, particularly in Spain and Greece, but really all over Europe there's a problem. And it's been caused by exactly what is causing our problem, which is spending more than they take in. And you create an environment to where people have been getting something, and then you start to take it away, and they aren't willing to give it up. How does this European debt crisis, and if these countries begin to go down the tubes, so to speak, financially, how does that affect the U.S. economy?
Well, it affects us a great deal because the European economy is about 25% of the economy of the world, and we do a tremendous amount of business with Europe. You mentioned manufacturing, you know, the importance of that. We sell a lot of products to Europe, and so if they're in recession, they're not going to be buying those products. China and Europe Europe is China's leading trading partner, and it will greatly affect them, and that will affect us in the sense that, you know, if you have instability in China, that's not really good for the entire world. It's a great lesson that we can look at and realize that if we don't put the financial brakes on that we need to, again, to quit spending more than we have, to quit promising more than we can, deliver, If we don't do those things, then we will wind up in the same situation. It really gives the United States a great opportunity, and I think that we will put the brakes on. I think we'll do the right thing. In doing that, it gives us a great opportunity to be stronger than ever because the whole world looks to us for leadership. And I think that we'll be a great flight, you know, to capital into this country that has the potential for us to be stronger than ever. But again, we're going to have to do the difficult things of getting our own financial house in order to capitalize on that.
What makes you think, Senator Bozeman, that there's going to be any change in Washington? Because no matter what administration there's been, we have always spent more money than we've taken in. Well, I say always, but we certainly have since President Clinton was in office. That was the last time we had we were balancing the budget. And since then, even the Republicans, but government has grown under, just consistently grown, and it doesn't matter whether it's been a Democratic or a Republican administration. Granted, it's been less growth under the Republican administration, but it seems to me like it's true in Washington that when Washington talks about about cutting spending, all they're really doing is cutting the growth. They aren't really cutting into the meat of things, and there's no way that that the budget can be balanced unless the tough issues of Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and defense are put on the table, and yet nobody seems willing to talk about those things.
Well, I think you're absolutely right in the sense that this didn't happen overnight. You know, this is something that's been going on for the last 40 or 50 years, but it is coming to a head now. And I've got great confidence in America in the sense that we've always risen and faced the problems that have confronted us, and we've always overcome those. So we have a big problem in this regard. We've got to rise up and face that problem. But I've got the confidence that at the end of the day, that we'll do that. And the only way to solve the problem is to quit spending more than you have. And we're not going to solve that problem overnight. It's taken us a while to get into this. It'll take us a while to get out of it. But I think if you have strong leadership, if you have a president that lays out a plan and says, we're going to do this, this, and this, and at the end of the day, we'll be where we want to be, that the American people will buy into that. I think that Republicans and Democrats will come together, that we'll actually do what it takes to get us back on track.
What things are on the Senate's agenda right now, Senator Bozeman, that you all are working on in Washington at the present time?
Biggest thing right now is the Farm Bill. That's so important for Arkansas, so important for the nation. For most of our states, Arkansas included, that represents the biggest economic enterprise that goes on. It's also important in the sense that we're blessed percentage-wise as far as paying out of our checks for food. We pay a very low percentage compared to the rest of the world. And so we want to protect that. We're feeding not only America, but we are feeding much of the world. We've lost a lot of our manufacturing, as you mentioned earlier. We've lost our ability to produce the energy that we need. The last thing in the world we need to do is make it such that we, are dependent on some other foreign countries for our food supply. And so you say that can't happen, but again, without good policy, it could happen. So the transportation bill is in conference right now. The House passed a bill. The Senate passed a bill. That's trying to be ironed out right now. Again, that's important. The infrastructure of our country is so important. I would argue that President Eisenhower, with his vision of the interstate system, that's one of the things that's made us a great economic powerhouse, is that truly was a wonder of the world when it was completed. And so, we need to move forward with things like that.
What about the issue of operating without a budget? As I understand it, we haven't been able to pass a budget. The Democrats haven't even proposed, a budget. I guess there's been one or two in either the House or the Senate, but how in the world are we operating without a budget?
Well, you can tell we're not operating very well. So it's been over 3 years since the Senate has had a budget. And even though by law they're required to do that. So a week or so we voted on a bunch of budgets. None of them were the Senate budget, though. They were Republican alternatives. The Senate Budget Committee refused to take a vote on the budget. And again, that's Senator Reid. He just doesn't want to put Democrats in a position of having to take votes, really illustrating the red ink that we're in and the tough choices you've got to make. So we had, three Republican proposals. Some of them were better than others. I certainly didn't agree with everything that was in any of them, but it was a very honest starting point to get the discussion going, to throw something on the floor. If you don't like it, let's amend it. Let's do something. Were not allowed to go forward because of procedural voting against it. The president's budget was put on the floor of the Senate and didn't get a single vote in the House. So that shows how serious that was when you don't have even, a Democrat supporting it. So you need a budget. You need a budget if you're a household. You need one if you're a business. How does an entity that's spending $3.7 trillion, which is truly an unimaginable amount of money, how do you operate without a budget?
Yeah, I really think that not much is going to get done there until after the election, if then.
Well, I think you're right, and I think stuff will get done after the election. We simply have to do this. We're going to demand that we do it. We're doing our best to get a budget in the Senate now. But again, Senator Reid, who has the ability to decide what comes on the floor and actually gets voted on, will simply not allow the budget proposal to move forward. I know that your listeners are frustrated on both sides, Democrats and Republicans. I mean, this is basic stuff. But right now, I would very much like to see a budget voted on, a serious budget that comes out of the Senate. But because of the ability of Senator Reid controlling the majority in the Senate, it's simply something that he will not allow.
We're jumping around a little bit, but I want to go back to the farm bill for just a moment. How controversial is the farm bill as far as passage, and do you anticipate that it will sail through, or does it still face some challenges?
It faces a lot of challenges. I'm concerned that the present farm bill doesn't have the safeguards, the safety net in place to protect Southern agriculture. It's interesting. This is not a partisan thing. It's not a Democrat or Republican. It's more regional as to your needs. In the South, there's a lot of irrigation that goes on. So you don't worry so much about the yield. You put the water to it, you put the fertilizer to it, and you get a good crop. In other parts of the country, they worry more about drought and things like that where they don't irrigate. They worry about the yield. The problem is that the proposal right now is supposedly a one-size-fits-all. And in the South, you worry more not about the yield, but you worry about a drop in the price. You put the crop in the ground, and then between the when it's planted and when it's harvested, you have a steep drop in the price. And you've put all the input costs, you paid for the fertilizer, you paid for the energy that it cost and the water and all of those things, you have a steep price decline and you're in trouble. The reason that these things are so important in getting this right is you don't want everybody growing the same crop. And then, too, when people go down, you make loans to put the crop in. When they go down to get a loan at the bank, if the safety net is not in place to prevent drastic losses, then the bank simply will not loan them the money that they need to actually plant the crop.
Well, let's talk about another issue that I think speaks widely to the mood of the country, and I have not heard the final outcome, but it looks like when all is said and done, Governor Scott Walker in Minnesota is going to be able to keep his job in spite of that recall. And the thing is, the unions have spent millions of dollars to get him recalled, and yet the last I've heard, the polls all say that that's probably not going to happen. Do you think that is representative of, because Minnesota's historically been, and Wisconsin and that whole area has historically been union oriented. Do you think that says something about the mood of the nation in regard to not giving in to the unions and making it more business friendly?
Well, I think that it does, and the governor's tried to do, he inherited a very difficult situation and really just said, we can't continue paying the benefits that we have and be solvent as a state. And so, he did his best to start cutting things back, make them more in line with the private sector. And, the unions just revolted. So the fact that the people seem to be supporting the governor, I think, is very, very positive, because what's happening there is the same thing that's going to happen at the national level. We can't continue at the national level to be spending as much money as we have. And as you start, throttling that back, then you're going to have reaction to the people, from the people that are, getting those resources. But we're going to have to stand firm and do the right thing. That's what he's done. And I think it's really good news that the people are supporting him, and hopefully that will be the case.
Yeah, he and Chris Christie have both jumped in and done those type things. And, we mentioned those two guys, and we think of Paul Ryan and others. What are your thoughts on who would make a good vice presidential candidate for Mitt Romney, and who would perhaps help the ticket more than anybody else?
Well, it's an interesting question, and that's one that that the people of Arkansas are thinking about, really all over the country. And then certainly there's lots of talk up here about that. And to be honest, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Guys like Senator Portman from Ohio, his name is bandied about. Marco Rubio from Florida.
Those are two states that are key states if you're going to win the presidency.
You're exactly right. And have different appeals. The Senator Portman is a very budget-oriented guy, very smart. He was the trade representative. Marco Rubio has a great story to tell. His communication ability is much like our former governor Huckabee. He's a great communicator, so he's got a lot of strengths in those areas. You've got other guys like Paul Ryan, who has the credentials of being a budget hawk and trying to move us in that direction. So it really will be interesting, kind of what comes of that. I don't know that anybody has the inside edge right now.
And, of course, nothing has to be done until the convention, so we'll see how that all plays out. But at least there are some good people out there that I think can really help the ticket.
Yeah, I agree with you totally, and I think at the end of the day that Republicans will have a strong ticket and be able to talk about the issues, talk about the alternatives, how they would like to lead the country as opposed to the direction that it's gone for the last 3.5 years. And then really, Speaker Pelosi was in charge before that, and Senator Reid, for a couple of years. So just trying show the contrast as to how the country, how we should go in a different direction. And it's all about jobs, 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 and reducing the debt, reducing the deficit to get us back on track.
I know the governor has been to China and says that there are some companies over there that are potentially looking at Arkansas. Those companies haven't been mentioned, but are you aware of anything moving in that direction that would bring jobs to the state from China?
Well, I think the governor has worked really hard with his economic task force. I've been very pleased with his efforts in that regard, and I think he's done a good job of attracting companies to Arkansas, and the fact that you know that they're actively out and about doing that, I think is really good for the state. And I know I'm committed to do that. Anything I can do in that regard, Senator Pryor, all of the delegation. The delegation, we certainly don't always agree when it comes to things in Washington, but we truly are united in trying to push the state forward. And we're a small state. You know, everybody knows everybody. It's so important that the regions work together. And so this is something that is really important as we go forward. I appreciate you letting me be on. I'm gonna run to – I've got to go help run a Veterans Affairs Committee right now and try and take care of our veterans that are so important, especially with Memorial Day coming up. You know, it's a good time that we all start reflecting about, you know, the importance of the sacrifice that's been made throughout the, you know, now the centuries, you know. And so, but I do appreciate you letting me, having the opportunity to be on, and as always, really enjoy your show.
Well, we appreciate it, and appreciate you taking out time to speak with us, and continue to do the good work in Washington, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again.
Well, thank you very much, sir.